Welcome, ladies, to St. Joseph's campus. My name is Sister Juliana. How many of you are here for the first time? Oh, wow. Happy welcome, our first time. There are a few more young women, 30 young ladies who signed up for our retreat today. We're so excited to have you. For those of you that are here for the first time, let's explain a little bit about our community. I am one of 120 Carmelite sisters. Our whole long name, pretty long community name, Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. And our mother founders is actually from Mexico, who founded our community during the religious persecution. And because of the persecution and it being illegal to practice your faith and even to serve the church, the bishops from Mexico arranged for the sisters to pretty much escape to come to a country that had religious freedom. So that's how we were established in Los Angeles and have been here for over 90 years in Los Angeles, and it has been a bloody. Our mother founders is also venerable. When you registered, you may have noticed her holy card on the table. She is venerable, and in the process of canonization, there is a miracle in Rome for her beatification, and we are praying, waiting for its approval. So if you have any miracles or really serious intentions, you can ask our mother founders, Mother Lucita. Today, she's adopting you, spiritually adopting you. So is our whole community surrounding the church today. And through her life, our charism is expressed, the Carmelite, you know, contemplative way of life in healthcare, retreat work, and education. To why we exist.
Do you remember to know it?
So there's a lot to that. It's expression of why we love it. So we are happy to unpack it too. But one reason, one of our favorite times of the year is Advent, but one reason we have this day of prayer every year is so that we can join you, you can join us in entering deeply into the spirit of Advent. We know how it is out in the world, right? You're getting ready for Christmas, and it can be a spirit of frenzy, spirit of rush. And so we want to enter into the spirit of silence and recollection to really unite ourselves to our Blessed Mother, who is aware of Jesus and her Lord. And we're asking her in a very special way today to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And so what an exciting time to be able to spend this time that you have set aside to enter into the spirit of Advent. And I know the Lord wants to honor your time. He's so delighted that you have given him this undivided attention, and he wants to bless you with many graces today and for Christmas that will carry you throughout the new year. So help me welcome our dear Sister Teresa, and she will be presenting on the feminine genius of Our Lady of, I'm sorry, of St. Anne, the mother of our mother. And Sister will also share more about herself. presents to you.
Carly, which is sister?
Actually, we had two sisters who originally committed to date together conferences. And you have Sister Teresa and Sister Teresa Margaret, who generously jumped in because the two sisters, the original sisters, are able to make it through. So the greater welcome and gratitude for you.
Margaret,
would you say to
her? You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. As Sister said, my name is Sister Teresa of St. Augustine. We'll give a talk another time about my patronesses, but I mean for the martyrs of Compiègne, who were guillotined during the French Revolution. And then 9 days later, after their offering, Robespierre, who was the leader of the revolution, was executed. And so the Reign of Terror ended. And they offered their lives for the return of peace to France and the end of the persecution of the Catholic Church. So 9 days later, there was a very tangible change in that, because from that point on, once Robespierre was executed, then the Reign of Terror ended. So holy 16 Carmelites that were guillotined that I have as my patronesses, I call them my little cloud witnesses. They're always with me. So just a little about myself. Sister asked me to share. I'm originally from Iowa, grew up in the Midwest, came to California when I entered the community in 2007. A little fun tidbit, I'm like right between Sister Teresa Margaret and Sister Juliana. So Sister Juliana is 2 years ahead of me and Sister Teresa Margaret is 2 years behind me. So kind of a little representation right now of we were together in the novitiate in our first years in Carmel. And so it's kind of fun to be together today because we don't live together. We serve in different areas and here we are. I currently live here at the Mother House in Alhambra and I serve in our finance office. So you never know where the Lord might have you serve him. But I'm happy to share a little about St. Anne, the feminine genius of St. Anne. And when I was like, became aware that I'd be sharing some thoughts with you today, I was like, wow, I haven't really spent time with St. Anne. I don't know if you have, but you hear, oh, she's the grandma of Jesus and she's the patroness of, like, I looked it up. She's the patroness of the elderly, of grandparents, of, you know, like parenting concerns. I said, like, bring your concerns to St. Anne. And I thought, how beautiful just to remind us that Jesus truly, as we know, was incarnated. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. And we know his mom is Mary. And of course, Mary had a mom too, right? And so like just to spend some time with Mary's mom, who would have taught her how to be a woman. And so I will just offer some reflections for you that hopefully will help you in your prayer time today. I'm not really giving like a conference or a talk, but just some different meditation points that hopefully will help you spend time with the Lord, but maybe through the eyes of St. Anne. So when we think of the feminine genius, you know, there's many beautiful works that St. John Paul II wrote, his letter to women, Edith Stein, our dear Carmelite, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. There's all these rich resources that we have to learn about what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a godly woman? But I think, and some of the things that St. John Paul II mentioned was women have this capacity of receptivity. We have a sensitivity to others. We have the amazing ability to give life, to be a mother. And so just by in and of itself of being a woman, you possess the feminine genius. So I want to just encourage you, it's not like something out there that you have to like, oh, I have to, you have it because you're a woman. And like, that's how God has created you. And so it's already within. And it's just something that to continue to nurture and to deepen and to mature in is like, that's our life. This is this beautiful life that we have of coming to know more fully who we are, how we've been created by God. And in that very fact of your being a woman, you have the feminine genius. So today we'll just take a little look at what that looked like with St. Anne. And I want to take it in the way of just the ordinary normalness of life. One, just a little a side note, a couple years ago, I was living at Santa Teresita and Doherty for quite a few years, and we were going through some discernment process, and we asked our beloved regional bishop at the time, Bishop Dave, if we could meet with him and just wanted to hear from his heart, like what was his concerns for our region, because Santa Teresita is in, and we are here too, in the San Gabriel region of the diocese. And he gave us some beautiful prayer intentions, but one of the things Bishop Dave said is we need to affirm the normal. We need to affirm and encourage normal. Then what seemed normal isn't normal anymore to others. So he said, if there's a young man that comes up to me and wants to be a good father and wants to care for his family, I encourage that. I affirm him. If there's a young woman who wants to, instead of pursuing a career, just feels called to be a mother, I encourage her. So I'm just feeling that same, like St. Anne just wants to encourage us, like rejoice and love being a woman, and the feminine genius will come forth. It's not like you have to work at it or go find it outside yourself. So we're going to take Bishop Dave's advice and just affirm the beautiful, sacred normalness of being a woman, and for like St. Anne, being a mom. So for her, we don't know a lot. You know, there's different traditions that we've heard from writings that aren't in the canon of our scriptures. So it's, you know, we've heard that her and Joachim, they only had one child, that Mary was their only child. So you can think what it would have been like for Anne. You know, in the Jewish tradition, you married and you had children. And so to not have a child, to be barren, could be a great suffering. And so an aspect of the feminine genius is we hold a lot in our hearts, right? Like we can hold suffering, that receptivity that John Paul II mentions. It's like a receptivity to holding your own and others' sufferings in your heart. And so Anne, when she finds out she's pregnant, must have greatly rejoiced. You know, there's life now that is coming to her barren womb. And I would guess, like these, I don't know this, but I don't think she would know that Mary was immaculately conceived. So just, this is on a natural, just she's happy. She's happy to have a baby, you know, if she wasn't able to before. So just on that natural rejoicing that the Lord has gifted her with life in her womb. And then, so I was thinking, you know, that we pray about, I don't know about you, but I like to pray with the hidden life of Jesus, Mary and Joseph and Nazareth. Like, just kind of think like it's just normal. Like Jesus came, was born as a child and as a baby, and then lived for 30 years in a family working with Joseph, just like normal. He was normal. And so I'm assuming the same would be for Anne, right? She and Joachim welcomed Mary. They were so happy to have a baby. Tradition is that when Mary was maybe 3 years old, they brought her to the temple. And they lived the faithfulness of their normal life and the Jewish faith, right? So that's one of the words that I have for Anne, is just like her faithfulness, that she was faithful to being a Jewish wife, a Jewish mother. And to think that in her faithfulness to her people of Israel, they had been praying and praying for a Messiah and for him to come and deliver his people. Like the Israelites were just, this was part of their longing. You know, they are praying for a Messiah. And who would have ever thought, you know, I'm sure she never, just like Mary, never thought that she would be like the grandmother of the Messiah. So in that faithfulness, in that virtue of faith, just living life as she was called to, being faithful to her duties as a wife, as a mother, whatever customs that they followed in the Jewish tradition. Out of that faithfulness, the Lord was able to work, and he starts his work of salvation by the conception of Mary in Anne's womb. So praying with, like, maybe pray with St. Anne of the virtue of faithfulness. And what does faith look like as a woman? What does it look like for you? How have you seen faithfulness lived in your own mother or in your grandmother? Sometimes, you know, I don't know how well you know your grandmothers, but I have two German grandmas. One is still living, one's passed away. They were neither one, not very many words, hard workers, but like knew you were loved. You know how like grandma, she would always make sure to make something that you liked when you came over, or they would just like little things. Like, I don't know. You can pray and think today with your own grandmothers, but like how did she express love to you? And also like different struggles and different challenges that our grandmothers may have experienced in their lives, but made them the woman that they are, and hopefully made them strong in God, in their faith, you know, for when they needed strength. Like, where does the woman turn to be provided for and cared for? Like, she finds that in God. So the first word you can pray with is faith, faithfulness. And then also thinking of just, so kind of looking at God's plan of salvation through the eyes of Anne. So moving along in ordinary life, just Anne's simplicity and her docility to just life. So as I said, they followed the Jewish customs. They would have brought Mary traditionally to the temple, and presenting her in the temple would have been just like, I don't know. I didn't do a lot of research. I don't know how some were chosen and some weren't to be virgins in the temple, but we celebrate Mary's presentation in the temple. And again, the joy that they must have had of this gift of life that they were given, and then to then present her to God in the temple. And I think of, there's a movie that we watched some years ago called Mary of Nazareth. I don't know if any of you saw it. It's, anyway, I don't really remember much of it, except for there was this one scene that I'll share with you. Mary was like 3 years old, and she's this long, curly hair, cute little girl that was playing Mary. And they were outside the temple, and there's like all these stairs going up inside. And Anne and Joachim are standing there, and Anne is, you know, holding Joachim's arm and kind of, you know, crying, you know, like happy to bring her daughter, but sad because she's going to stay at the temple. And Mary turns, and she's just smiles, this biggest smile at Anne and Joachim. And then she turns around and runs, and she just free abandon, like just her hair, and she just runs up the temple stairs and she doesn't look back. And I was just very moved, so moved thinking about it. I thought, oh, the Anne, you know, her heart was just been like, there goes my little girl. But like, she was so happy, you know? And so you just think she is a true mother. Like Anne is, she's a real person. She's had feelings. She experienced this life of God just breaking in, you know? So I don't know, maybe she had a sense, like there's something special about my little girl, you know? So think of, I don't know, just think of that, like docility and openness to just following God's plan, however it unfolds in your life. So that's one scene you can pray with, the presentation at the temple. And then moving along, at some point, Mary leaves the temple. And then another maybe scene you could pray with is the betrothal with Joseph. So now, again, just living normal, ordinary life, right? The next phase in a Jewish woman's life would be to become betrothed, to be married. And I mean, I would just think Anne was really impressed with Joseph, don't you think? Like, I bet she was like felt very happy and secure that her daughter was going to be, you know, married to Joseph. And who knows what conversations, you know, when Joseph comes over to the house, getting to know Anne and Joachim, like the whole, just, I don't know. I really enjoyed spending time with Anne these past couple of days preparing for the talk. So like, again, just like Anne allowing God to work and in the normal, natural ways. So now let's move on to this part in salvation history where we're preparing for right now with Advent. And going back to a quote I used before, this is jumping ahead, but I'm going to apply this scripture verse to this other part. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, this is right after the nativity, after the shepherds come to see our Lord, and the shepherds and the angels are singing, and the verse is, "But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart." And so, like, we are so much like our moms, even if we don't like that. Most of the time, the daughter, you know, you learn a lot from your mom. So, like, I wonder, did Mary learn how to ponder and to hold things in her heart from Anne? And so, like, looking back now, so now we're going to go back to, like, they've been betrothed. Now the angel comes to Mary. And can you imagine being Anne? And having this play out, your own daughter, you know, who knows when Anne found out? I don't know if Mary came and told her. I mean, it's like its own movie, like, right? Can you imagine? Like, well, this angel appeared to me. I'm, you know, the scandal of it all, the small town, the whole, and you're the mom of this girl that suddenly is miraculously pregnant before she's betrothed, before she's married, you know, just... But Anne, we honor her before her faithfulness. We call her Saint Anne. So there must have been an openness in her to allow the divine to just invade her normal life. Like, she was just being a faithful Jewish mother, and this miraculous story is unfolding in her life, like in her own daughter's life. So I just think Anne must have also pondered these things in her heart and supported Mary through this whole process. So if you like to do Ignatian meditations, there's a lot here. You could just sit with Mary and ask, or with Anne and ask her, like, what was that like? What was that like, Anne, to have your daughter come and tell you? Or if she didn't, if she kept it to herself, as you started to see when Mary started showing that she's pregnant, you know. And then Joseph, did he go and talk to Anne and Joachim, or did he just decide, like, I'm going to divorce her quietly? Like, I mean, this is a lot of drama going on, you know. And so, like, Anne, in my prayer, I just see her just being just a solid place of refuge and strength for Mary, just that faithfulness to the ordinary life, the faithfulness to the faith of the Jewish people. Then she's continued just to be faithful to what the Lord was bringing into her life in these miraculous instances. So then we can move to when Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem. Okay, so again, think of being the mom here. Your daughter is 9 months pregnant. She's going to get on a donkey and go travel and be giving birth. Not with, like, you're not going to be able to be there, you know? And like, what mom wouldn't want to be there with her daughter when she's giving birth? And so I just, like, Anne's heart, oh, just to pray and to hold that within and to intercede. So that's another part of the feminine genius, is we have such a capacity to love, but in the loving, to pray and to intercede for others. And so I just think of Anne sitting at home while her daughter is in Bethlehem giving birth. Like, how did she find out? Did somebody come back from the caravan and say, you know, Mary had her baby? you know? I mean, just, I don't know. I've never thought of things from Anne's perspective. So it's just been an amazing time with St. Anne. And then the flight to Egypt. So, I mean, it's just like God broke into their lives and disrupted things. Like, this was not normal. Like, all of a sudden, like, the normal, the ordinary that I was trying to kind of set that stage just broke into total not normal, like, never happened before and never has again in this way of, like, the incarnation. Just so to have your daughter, I mean, did Mary, I'm guessing Mary and Joseph came, I know, so, like, all this we don't know for sure, right? So they came back from Bethlehem. Or were they still in Bethlehem and then had to flee? And so Anne is still at home. They're all this stuff. And then does she find out? Does she even know that Mary went to Egypt? Or they fled in the night, right? The angel said, go. And so she's like a missing daughter. Like, for Anne, like, they've gone. And I just think the nights and the days of prayer and just praying for her daughter, for Joseph, for the baby, you know, and you can just think all these parallels to your own life, the times in your own mother or your own grandmothers, or you have spent vigil and prayer, interceding, just begging the Lord to protect and to provide the grace needed. And then I think of a joyous reunion. At some point, they came back to Nazareth. And we don't know, like, we don't know how long Anne and Joachim lived. But I like, so let's move on to a rejoicing scene of, like, Mary and Joseph coming back from Egypt with Jesus, who's, you know, at least, I don't know, they spent some years there. So maybe I'm just guessing, like, six. I don't know if you all have an idea, but, like, you know, just like a young boy, and maybe he'd be meeting Anne for the first time, or maybe she hasn't seen him since he was really little. I don't know if she went to, I don't know, maybe they went to Bethlehem and saw the nativity, and then I, you know, we don't know. So I'm just thinking, but, like, this heart of the mother that Anne held so much in her heart and accompanied her daughter in this miraculous experience that she could never have known, you know, and just supporting, I just, in my heart, I just think that Anne just supported Mary through it all, and Joachim too. Like, they had to just realize at some point, like, this is beyond us. This is God's work that we have for some reason, but it's this privileged place to be so close to the mystery and to just be docile and simple in our part that God has given us in it. So those are some thoughts I had regarding Anne, and just kind of staying with this time, maybe the Advent times, since we're in Advent, I'm just praying, like, being with Anne today in asking her, like, what was it like to be a woman in the feminine genius? What was it like to be mother of this special, special girl? You know, now she knows that she was conceived without sin. But, you know, there's all those jokes about the Holy Family and Joseph, having to live with Mary and Jesus, and he was the only one that, you know, sinned. I'm like, well, what would it be like to be a mom of the one who was immaculately conceived and sinless? I mean, it must have been, wow, what a joy. Like, there must have been so, like, there was no sin in her daughter. So she must have brought into the family such grace and, like, you could spend the day with Joachim and Anne and Mary. You could spend the day with Mary and asking Mary, like, what characteristics of Mary did she actually learn from Anne? You know, like, Jesus learned so much from Joseph. Mary must have learned how to be a wife and a mother and a woman from Anne. This, I would like to close with a quote from St. Therese, and then I'll apply it to Anne. So St. Therese wrote this in a letter to Celine, her sister. God is mine, and the Mother of God is also my mother. Sometimes I find myself saying to Mary, you know, dear mother, that I am happier than you because I have you for a mother, whereas you do not have the Blessed Virgin Mother to love. So she's kind of teasing Mary, like, I get to love you, you know, as my mother, and you don't have, you can't love the Blessed Virgin Mary because you are Mary. But so this is my little caveat, but Mary does have a mother to love, and her mother is Saint Anne. So let us pray to both Mary and Saint Anne today. My name back on.
So thank you, Sister Teresa, for that beautiful reflection. And that's actually perfect for our next part of the schedule. So if you have your booklet, ladies, we have now time for three things. There's an opportunity to go to confession. We have Father Brandon Dang here and Father Daniel Lopez. Father Brandon will be in the small chapel right behind us, I think. I'm sorry if I'm getting them confused. And there's another priest in the lobby of the St. Joseph Hall. And we can help direct you for confession. We have confession from 10:45 to 12. So this is a great opportunity if you want to go to confession. And then Mass is here in back in the Sacred Heart Room right at 12. You also have personal prayer time. We don't have too many outdoor furniture pieces outside. So I invite you, if you want to take a chair from the dining room and to take it outside, sit in the sun, whatever you'd like to do for your personal prayer time, and really take what Sister shared to heart right now. This is the time to do that. Begin that conversation with Saint Anne. Have that conversation with her during this time of Advent. What was it like to live with our Blessed Mother? What was it like to be open to God's graces in ways she was not expecting for him to appear to her? Another opportunity you have now, from now until Mass, is to meet with a sister. And many of you, that when you registered, you saw the sheet there. And so there's many open slots right now to meet with the sister if you want one-on-one. It's only 15-minute slots, so you have to really be prepared what you want to talk about, or any questions, or any prayer intentions. So AMA, ask me anything. I can share with the sister. So we'll be back here in Sacred Heart Room at 12. We do have refreshments, but please be aware of just the fast, right, for Holy Communion. And after Mass, there's more time. There'll be lunch, of course, in the dining room, and more time for personal prayer and a meeting with the sister. This is what we call your retreat. This is a day of prayer for you. So we also ask you just to be more of a spirit of silence right now, because this evening we won't really be in a spirit of silence. We are talking and bring recreation and getting to enjoy each other, getting to know each other, and having Christmas caroling tonight. But this is a time to enter into the conversation with our Lord, Blessed Mother, with Saint Anne, just to get to rest in their presence. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Where's the best place to keep our stuff? Like, at our seat here?
Yeah, you can leave them at your chairs here. You could leave your stuff in the dining room. All of it's safe. We're trying to keep the doors unlocked for you. You have the ease to come in and out. You're also welcome to stay here for prayer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have a question about confession. Where is there going to be a line?
Yes. We'll help form the lines, but those of you that signed up to meet with the sister, if you can just wait here in the Sacred Heart Room, to meet with the sister you signed up for, but we'll start forming the lines right outside the chapel and right outside the lobby in the front where the glass doors are. Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. You are free to go.
Should we make a note about the opportunity, like you can go face-to-face?
Yes, you have the opportunity to go face-to-face, or there'll be like a chair behind Father. Okay. Do you want to explain it? Sister set up the confessionals, which, no, that's good. Please.
So, you know, you do have the opportunity if you would like to go face-to-face, or we don't really have screening. So we did that there's a kneeler like behind Father's chair, so you can kneel down there. Anyway, just so you know, you have the option. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Carter, would you? And we'll see you back here at 12.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.